Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are the New York Knicks.
I'm back in the New York
crew. Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girl.
But this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks is taking no shorts. It's like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
Everybody, welcome to the New York Knicks podcast, part of Dash Radio, episode 607. I am Jay. How you doing, Mark?
I am doing good. This episode is a special episode. We are going to spend the entire episode celebrating the New York Mets' first win of the season.
Oh, God.
Jay's a huge baseball fan. It'll be a crossover baseball episode. And Jay wants to just talk about the Mets' coming season, kind of a season preview for the Mets. Jay, how did you feel about the Mets winning their opening day?
Verlander got injured.
Go to hell, Jay. Go to hell. The Mets already have their closers injured. The starter, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars this offseason, and everyone's injured.
Mm-hmm. Well, can we move on to a team that matters?
Okay, we're back to the Mets. Jay, so I have a question for you before we talk about the bad news.
Yeah.
The player I want to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a guy that a lot of people say complains a little bit too much to the refs.
Is he on?
He's a guy that is a little too ball dominant. He's a guy that, like, he just needs the ball in his hands all the time. Doesn't shoot a high percentage from three. He shoots a lot of threes. What do you think? Should we get this guy?
He doesn't sounds like a guy you wouldn't want on the team, right?
No, but you want him. He complains a lot to the refs, and he has bad body language a lot.
Hmm. Well, it seems like a Randall type that everyone wants to have traded.
Right, but this one's Luca, and he has worse body language than Randall. But we want him. We don't want Randall.
No, we want both.
We want both. I like Randall. I would love Luca. But I think it's funny because you see Dallas not playing very well. Kyrie's doing his magic by making them a top 10 draft seed, and people are like, "We'll get Luca," and like all the critiques you have about Randall. I mean, and Luka's a better player, but you can make the exact same critiques about Luka.
Yeah, you could. His defense is way worse than Randall's.
Definitely way worse.
But
he does not show up as in good shape. Like Randall comes to play with in better shape than Luka does.
Yeah, but I mean, Luka is like elite on offense.
He's elite on offense. Yes, though. I haven't looked. But I'm getting they don't shoot that differently from three.
Right, yeah. I mean, the three-point shot's a little off, but he does everything else.
He
shoots
a lot of threes.
Dallas is in 11th. The Knicks get their pick if it's 11th or worse. So as much as we want Dallas to lose, they might need to win a game or two in the last five for the Knicks to get that pick.
I would really like Dallas to figure out how to win some games now so we can get that pick. Because it'll be super disappointing to not get the 11th or 12th or 13th pick in the draft.
They're going to finish with the 11th worst record and then win the lotto and we don't get the pick.
that would really be what would happen. Because, like, if they don't, like, they'll win the lotto and then Luka will never leave Dallas. Luka should leave Dallas.
Luka should leave Dallas, yeah.
I mean, Luka should turn to, like, Mark Cuban and go, hey, you wouldn't pay a halfway decent salary to my best teammate? Go to hell. I'll go join him in New York. you want to talk about the bad news?
Let's get it out of the way, and then we can do a rest of the episode positive.
Okay, rest of the episode positive, but starting out with some bad news. Julius Randle is injured, and he's out for, what, at least 2 weeks?
He will be reevaluated in 2 weeks, which usually indicates it'll be longer than 2 weeks. The playoffs, I believe, start in 2 weeks and 2 days.
Well, is that the which round is that? Is that the play-in?
That might be game one of the actual first round.
So the play-in, it says here the play-in is from April 11th to the 14th. So the games that will matter, assuming the Knicks avoid the play-in, which looks very likely.
Yeah.
The Knicks will...
So there's 16 days till the end of the play-in tournament.
Yeah. So basically in 2 weeks, how do
it's
you
cutting
avoid
it real close
how
either
do you
way.
Avoid... Real. How do you avoid screwing up in the first round of the playoffs? You're not available in the first round of the playoffs.
I mean, we just have to hope that he's on target for 2 weeks. That's all.
Randle is as durable as a player as possible. If anyone's going to come back fast from this, it's a bad sprained ankle.
Yeah, yeah. There's no ligament damage. It didn't break. It's just a bad sprain. So. It's very possible he's back for game one of the playoffs. And say what you want about Randle, they need him for game one of the playoffs. Because
he's not the guy you want to lose. I don't care what people say about the Atlanta series from 2 years ago. You want Randle playing in game one of the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I can't believe this dude who almost never misses a game. I mean, last year he had some injuries at the end of last year. I also think it was a bad season. He kind of just shut it down because the season was over.
Mm-hmm.
But he's Mr. Durability.
Yeah.
He almost never misses a game.
Yeah, he was he was going to be the first player to start every game for a whole season for the Knicks in, like, what, 12 years or something? It was a really long time.
That's really, really long. I mean, the last couple of years... I don't know what's happening with Basketball Reference. But he basically barely misses a game, and it's kind of frustrating that
it happens at this point.
I have all goddamn luck. Like, he went down. He always, like, something will happen. He'll just get back up, and you'll be like, it's fine. He was, like, he was in pain at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, I don't even know why you're having him do the free throw. I understand, like, if you don't do the free throws, you can't come back into the game. But it was pretty clear he wasn't coming back into the game.
Right, right. The Miami is just a curse for the Knicks. I think Brunson, both times he got hurt, was against Miami. We all remember the 97 series. Like, Miami's just a curse for the Knicks.
Yeah, they're a tough team. They played since the last two games, the Knicks have they're on a bit of a losing streak. They lost a couple games. They were stumbling a bit,
mm-hmm.
and then they beat the crap out of Houston. And then they had a huge win against Miami last night.
Yeah. So they're up 4 in the loss column against Miami with 5 games left. So they would literally have to lose all 5 because they have the tiebreaker to fall to the play-in game.
Right. So my understanding is the Knicks' magic number is 2,
mm-hmm.
which means basically
2 Knicks wins or 2 Miami losses, and that's it.
Miami or Brooklyn Nets losses, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they have to win. Like, the Knicks are basically they're almost guaranteed at this point to be a top 6 seed, hopefully top 5. How do you think Obi is going to do? He's got 5 games where he's going to have a chance to really shine. What's going to happen with Obi?
I mean, this is a huge chance for Obi. Like, no Randle. There's he's going to be the starting power forward probably. Like. Time to step up. So let's see what happens. So it looks like the Knicks are going to make the playoffs, and they are going to play the Cavs in the first round. Which, I guess, seeing how Philly has looked lately, I feel much better about the Cavs matchup. I know, you know, we did a crossover show the other week, and I was arguing for Philly, and I take that back.
Yeah, you're arguing for James Harden being bad. Embiid is a beast. I'm not dying to play him in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, Cleveland looks like a tough matchup also. They seem the most beatable of the four teams you could face.
The top four in the East is really solid. I mean, I'll say the top five, the Knicks are solid too. It's like the Knicks are finally good, and the East is deeper than it's been in a while. And it's sad to say that five teams is deep, but the East has been so bad for so long that five is actually a really deep East.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't expecting Brooklyn to fall apart, and Miami was supposed to be a lot better. Like, we were thinking that East was going to be like seven or eight deep, but just
Miami's pretty good. I mean, that was a great win last night. I mean, they play really good competitive defense. They're not a great shooting team like the Knicks.
I believe they're the lowest scoring team in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, they play really good defense. They get a lot of turnovers. They're just not good at offense. Partly because you have a bunch of guys who are non-drafted players who are on the team.
Well, partly because their starting point guard just got completely washed up last season.
Well, he was kind of Lowry was kind of done before they got him.
Yeah, there's an article on ESPN today saying how they Miami's like didn't get the player they thought they were getting. I'm like, they clearly didn't watch Lowry the season before they got him.
I mean, there's just like it's one of those things where a guy has a name. You're like, he's still going to be good because he has that name. And so, if you're not LeBron James, you fall off.
I don't watch a lot of other sports. Is there other sports where a player can live off of their reputation for like five seasons after their performance does not back that reputation up?
I mean, every sport you have a little bit, like if you're a really big time player, you get to like, you have a little more runway.
Mm-hmm.
But it is funny to see guys like you get a guy like when the Mets were, go to play baseball. I forget the name. Like the Mets have gotten some players at the end of their careers where you're like, I remember when this guy, you could not get him out, and now he looks like a shell of him, like he looks like a shell of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Jay, did you know that Ron Baker just turned 30?
Happy birthday, Ron Baker.
Can you remember, Jay, when at one point Knicks fans, in all seriousness, were saying that Ron Baker was part of their young core?
Yes, I do remember that. It was a brief moment, but it did happen.
Yes, we had, you have to remember that at some point things were very dark in Knicks world.
Yeah. Very, very dark.
They were dark times. But the light has been shown. So let's talk a little bit about, first let's mention the guy that has shown brightest, Emmanuel Quickley, who won goddamn buck wild in the Houston Rockets game.
Mm-hmm.
40 points, 9 assists. I think he had one turnover. There was something, a list of basically of players that have done that before. And it was like Emmanuel Quickley and a bunch of historic great players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really, really developed this season. Like, he started off the season and he looked like he did last season. And we're like, this isn't great. And then something just clicked, and he looks so good now.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was someone made a comment on, they were like, I mean, they were like, yeah, this is the guy that Tibbs, had Alex Burke start over. Like just someone on Twitter who was very bitter about the fact that IQ wasn't immediately given the reins on, like, day one when he got here. I think guys develop, like, I think you can't just hand the guys the reins before they're ready. And I think you need to challenge guys so they get better. Quickley looks a lot better than he looked last season. This is not the same player.
I don't know if you just throw Quickley into that situation. What if he fails at that? Maybe that messes with his head. Like, I think giving him something to, like, you know, a little chip on the shoulder, like, oh, you're not even you're starting a non-point guard over me. Like, you know, maybe that helped.
Yeah, I don't know what it is that has the best way to develop a player, but he's playing really well. So instead of, I feel like instead of taking a dig at Tibbs for not playing him sooner, you could just say he's playing pretty well. Maybe Tibbs is doing a good job developing him because he's playing this well in year three.
I think Tibbs has done a pretty good job. Obviously, he's not perfect, and there's things we would like to change, but he seems to be a lot better with staggering minutes, some rotations. Like in the big win against Houston, you didn't see the starters in until like 4 minutes left. Like,
yeah,
you know,
Randall didn't even come back into that game.
Right. And the last game against Miami, Brunson sat the whole fourth quarter in a close game that was the Knicks really needed to win because the people on the court were playing really well. And so he didn't just stick to his like set rotations. He's like, these guys are playing their asses off. Let's go with this lineup.
Yeah, I think someone said online that Brunson kind of waved off going back into the game because the guys were playing so well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's adjusting. Like right now, when everyone's healthy, he puts the regular starting rotation out there. I like what he's doing, subbing RJ out early so he can play more with the second unit. I think that was a really smart call, mm-hmm. and having IQ a little more with the first unit. A little more balance. He leaves Hart out there longer. He's kind of also seeing how Robinson and Hart and Hartenstein play, and just whoever's playing better gets more minutes that night.
So I'm so happy with the way the bench has been playing. So you got the Hart Foundation with Hart and Ihart.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Grimes is starting, but he's playing really well with Quickly. And I saw a nickname proposed today, which I thought was good. GQ. Grimes and Quickly. You like that? I don't know. I think it's good.
I think
you need something quick. I don't know.
Anyway. By the way, so this is Jonathan Macri proposed this, that since January 24th, Hartenstein has the ninth highest plus minus in the NBA.
Yeah, he's been really, really good, and I noticed he's been kind of splitting the minutes with Mitch 50-50. And
I feel like Hartenstein, I'm not going back to checking, but Hartenstein I think is getting more minutes lately than Mitch.
Yeah, and I know Mitch isn't thrilled with his role right now based on what he's been posting on social media, but Ihart's been playing so good you can't ignore it. Really,
he had a happy happy post, and I guess we have to like interpret the hieroglyphics of his posting. But he had a happy tweet after their win against Miami, or happy post on Instagram.
Good, because he was complaining about not getting as a big part of the offense. He's been taking like 1 to 2 shots per game since, so I can't imagine that improved his feelings on his role.
Yeah, I feel like every NBA player should be sat down before they come to the league and go like, hey, you can do whatever you want on social media, but just realize there's a chance that you posting on social media will cost you like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Just don't do stuff on stupid.
Even if it doesn't cost them a penny, it's probably just not worth all the drama with Twitter's like a toxic hellhole. Like you don't want to post anything that gives people fodder to like shit on you. You know,
I mean, I guess it has to be a little fun being like, I could post a random emoji and all of Nick's Twitter is like, okay, what does this mean?
Yeah, yeah. If I was in that situation, I would probably post weird cryptic shit just to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard not to want to do that a little bit.
Yeah, it's got to be tempting, especially when you're in your early 20s. Like, that shit's fun.
So I thought it'd be a good idea. The playoffs are coming up. Knicks are playing well. Why don't we go through each player, or the 9 players plus McBride, the 9-man plus 1 rotation, and give what we want to see more of and what we want to see less of from them. One thing each.
Okay.
So starting at the top, Julius Randle, I want to see more getting healthy, I guess, obviously.
Yeah, I want to see one more healthy ankle and one less injured ankle.
Yeah, well, yes, that's true. So I guess when he's healthy, I'd like to see less complaining. I think he's got to just suck up the calls, especially in the playoffs, and not make an issue about calls. I want to see more from Julius Randle.
So the refs are just not, nothing's going to be done about that. The NBA is just like, we're totally cool with this, like, nobody knows how any play is going to get called from game to game, and like, this is an offensive foul this game, or maybe even this play, and then it's not the next play, and that's just the way it is, that everyone's fine with this? Like,
this what's a foul? It would be great if the NBA could just explain what a foul and what's not a foul. Like, here are the rules we're going to go with, not like, here's some arbitrary rules which get called sometimes and not other times.
Well, they
times.
Can't, because they clearly do star calls, and they don't want to admit it, so they can't, like, literally say this is what it is.
Right, I think you made a comment online about how, like, if Giannis puts his elbow out to create space, that's not a foul. But if someone else does it, that is an offensive foul.
Yeah, Gobert got an offensive foul for doing what Giannis does literally every play on offense. It's not fun for the fans. Like, NBA is supposed to be an entertainment product, and they do a lot of these rule changes for the, because they think it's more fun to watch. So, like, I don't get why they're letting this happen, when I have not met one person who's like, you know what I really like? Flopping and taking charges. Like, you know, like, nobody likes this stuff.
It's got to be a way. I mean, I feel like it's really hard to call an NBA game. And even if you want to be consistent, you can call things too often. And sometimes you probably feel like, well, it's getting late in the game, I shouldn't call stuff, which is kind of stupid also. The beginning of the game and the end of the game shouldn't be called any different. Like,
yeah. Anyway, let's go back to here.
Okay, so if I had to pick something for besides getting healthy for Randall, I would say I'd like to see him just attack the basket a little more, especially if the three is not falling early.
Okay. I think he's been pretty good, but I would like to see maybe a little bit more ball movement.
Yeah, I guess that's even a better thing, because I feel like he's been a little more ISO heavy and not necessarily moving the ball as fast as he needs to. He's letting the double come to him too fast.
Because there's enough people on the team that can score now. With IQ and most recently Grimes' coming out party. He's been on fire the last few games.
Last few games he's been great. I mean, like, if IQ could score, that makes a huge new dimension to the offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. RJ Barrett. What do you want to see more of, and what do you want to see less of?
I want to see more of him driving to the rim. He's very effective when he does that. And
are we going to say every Knicks player, I want to see more of him driving to the rim?
No, especially RJ, because I feel like that is his number one strength. And even lately, he's been looking more to pass on the drive instead of just putting his head down and barreling in,
which is great.
He opens up his game like a lot. Yeah, he did that a few times the other game, and he looked like a much better player. Less of anytime he's not taking a completely wide open three. He's not a good 3-point shooter. If there's somebody within 5 feet of him, don't take it.
Yeah, I mean, he hit a couple. I went for 2 for 6 against Miami. Not that great, actually. He's not a great 3-point shooter. He's probably going to take a couple of game, but maybe he should be modeling his game after more of a Jimmy Butler type. Not shooting a lot of threes, working mostly around the basket.
Yeah, DeRozan, Aldridge, like guys who have a mid-range or can drive.
Also, I guess in this offseason, I feel like Brunson should be taking everyone to school about just footwork. Brunson's footwork around the basket is insane. I mean, IQ is actually great footwork also. But, like, it'd be great if Barrett could just learn a little better footwork around the basket. He's been getting very crafty.
So I haven't fact-checked Anthony, but he said RJ is 0 for 340 this season on open threes. Sounds right to me. We'll let it go.
That might be. That definitely the guy's in his face. That definitely. I would say... So more basically, and RJ less, like, shoot a couple threes, no more than a couple, and stop the dumb like fadeaway, like either attack the basket or. What else do you want to see less from RJ? His defense actually feels like it's been a little better lately.
A little bit. It's weird because he's like a streaky defender, which I didn't think was a thing.
Yeah.
Like some games you're like, oh wow, he can do that, and in other games you're like, he's like worse than Obi.
I think if his shot's not falling, either is his defense.
Yeah,
I think they kind of go hand in hand. I think RJ's got to be involved. He's got to score early in the game to get his confidence up.
Anthony wants to know our thoughts on how Human Butler looks when he doesn't get the Jordan treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so nice. Butler was talking so much trash last game. It was so nice to see the Knicks just completely shut him down.
I think there's something going around on Twitter, at least, that was like Josh Hart tried to like shake his hand, and Butler refused to like shake his hand.
Hart's hilarious. Then he just stands there with his hand out and looks down at his hand. Like, I love Hart.
Oh my God, he's such a fun player.
I hope he sticks around. He can easily be top five favorite Knick of all time within like a year or two if he sticks around.
He's got to stick around. I think the trade's bad if they don't. They have to re-sign him. You have to be willing to pay him if you trade for him in the first place.
I mean, that's the whole plan. I think something borderline disastrous would have to happen for the Knicks not to re-sign him.
Right. I mean, I guess like if he's like, I only want a max contract. Okay. Whatever he's going to ask for, it probably will be in the range of what the Knicks are expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure this was discussed before they made the deal.
They had to. I don't care if they spoke to him. They had to speak on their own and go, he is a pretty good player. Here's what we need to resign him. We're not trading for him unless we're going to resign him.
I mean, him and Brunson are friendly. Like, I'm sure they're like, Brunson, call him and tell him this.
And then post a random video of you pretending to find out we got him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We don't want to lose another second round draft pick.
Okay, so RJ, we want to see more attacking the basket and less streakiness with defense.
Okay. I'm going to go with three.
Unless take three threes, not eight threes a game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mitchell Robinson.
I mean, I feel like we've been saying this for 5 years now. I want to see some post moves. Other than like,
I don't,
catching
he's not going to develop post moves at the end of the season. There's not going to be like five games to go. I suddenly have post moves.
I don't know what I want from him then. He's fine on defense.
I want him to. I feel like sometimes he's good on defense and sometimes he's just not there on defense. Like sometimes he's awesome on defense. Mm-hmm. He changes the tide of a game. And sometimes I feel like he's not doing a lot on defense.
Maybe he needs more. You know what? They should do. I forget which team it was, but they had a center, and like the first play of every game, they tried to lob it to him just to give him a touch. And
you mean Mitchell Robinson? What they usually do?
No, it was.
Is
it
RJ Barrett try to lob it to him to start every game?
Do that? I thought it was just Randall tries to take a three at the start of every game.
That's true too. But there's a lot of games where they start off with they go to Robinson early. But yeah, you think that should be a good idea? That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, you know, maybe do it two or three times. Like, I don't know. Maybe that'll motivate him to play more consistently on defense.
To me, that would also, like, if you do that early in the game, you're going to open up the lane for driving because now the other team's thinking about that on every drive.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a no-brainer to get like him involved in the lob just to open up the offense around the rim.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I'd like to see him more consistency on defense, like more just hard. I feel like he also played 19 minutes against Miami because like he wasn't that great for half the time he was out there.
Yeah. And Ihart's been playing so, so good.
Yeah. You can't argue with how well Ihart really, like, he's not quite the same rim protector, but he's also actually really good out there.
He's a really good rebounder too.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, I like the duo. I like the two of them.
Maybe it's for the best for them to just split minutes.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea with like how Robinson's also not like, first of all, there are games where Hart sucks also.
Mm-hmm.
But Robinson's not like, he's a little bit, he's not a guy who's going to play 35 minutes a night for you because he breaks down too easily. So having the balance and having one play, if they're playing better, like making a bit of a competition every night.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, did you hear the interview with Hartenstein, who said like early in the season he had like a bad game, and he got like a text from Randall, who just like, you're one, like you're, I forget how he, what he said, but basically,
I think
like,
he said, keep going.
What'd he say?
Keep going, I think he said.
Yeah, yeah. Like he just basically made him feel like he was one of the team, like a member of the team. Mm-hmm. And he said it was like, it really was helpful.
Yeah.
Randall's showing leadership.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah. Iheart's completely turned it around. He, you know, it's a new team, a new system. Some players don't instantly gel with the players. I feel like he's now found his place and more than fitting in. I mean, he's one of the better bench players now.
Yeah. I mean, people also, I think people kill Tibbs, a lot to kill Tibbs, but you have to say, like, he had a lot of guys, new guys to really, like, work into the lineup. He had to figure out what was the, like, the right rotation. It's not like he came to the season and said, it's not like on day one of the season he had the rotation down already. And no coach would. Mm-hmm. The system kind of evolved, basically.
The only coach that does is like Golden State, where you're like, well, I have four Hall of Famers on the starting lineup, so like, they're probably going to start.
Yeah, I mean, if next season the roster is pretty much the same, you'd go into next season with a very similar rotation. You wouldn't have to change too much.
Yeah,
that's a major. I mean, you added a point guard, you added Iheart. You had to work out the veteran. You had to take the veterans out of the lineup. There were a lot of big moves to make on this team early
and then
on the season.
Eventually added Hart.
Eventually added Hart was a whole another dynamic. And fit in seamlessly.
Yeah.
Okay, Brunson. What do you want to see more and less of Brunson? Besides the obvious of get his hand healthy and get fully healthy.
Yeah. I mean, more of just his work in the paint, it's ridiculously good. I mean,
yeah,
just more of that.
I do want to see him. I want to see him have more assists in the game. I mean, he actually wasn't that great against Miami. He was a little rusty, and I imagine his left hand hurting is not helping.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to see him set guys up. I want to see a few more assists from him. At least one or two more assists a game from him.
I just feel like ball movement is going to be what we say about most of these players. And that's probably because they don't really have much of an offensive system. It seems just really ISO heavy, but I want to see more ball movement.
Yeah. I mean,
from everybody.
I mean, everyone says the playoffs, things slow down the playoffs anyway. So there might be less ball movement in theory in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the Knicks ISO heavy approach could be okay for the playoffs. He's got to force a little more ball movement, basically.
Yeah, because I feel like when you mix it up like that, that's how you win games. You know, if it's so ISO heavy where everyone knows what you're going to do, like teams are going to figure you out over a 7-game series.
I mean, so it seemed like what was the previous game where everyone was going heavy on attacking Brunson? One of their losses,
the Orlando,
the last Miami loss, maybe. Hmm. Where they went after Brunson on defense.
Yeah.
Or an offense. I'm a little concerned about that. And Brunson just got to find a way to like hold his own on defense when the offense like singles him out.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to need to be quicker at helping. He's not that bad on defense that.
No, he's not. Yeah.
It's just that was the weak point. You got a lot of good defenders on the team now, which is
Yeah, no. He's a guy everyone's going to go after because he's this of the starters. He's the smallest, and he's the obvious guy to go after.
It seems like this is a good defensive team, yet the Knicks are like, you know, bottom half of the league on defense. I don't understand. Like,
are they bottom? Where are they now? Are they really bottom half?
Yeah, aren't they like really bad on the defensive rating? Aren't they like?
You know, I haven't looked in a little while. Why don't we check, Jay? Right now.
But I feel like there's a lot of plus defenders on this team.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks have had some bad games on defense recently. I mean, the Minnesota game was absurd, but also it was just an absurd game overall.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that game.
Yeah, that was kind of awful, but it was kind of also ridiculous. Let's see. Let's see.
I mean, some games, some players just get unrealistically hot, and there's nothing you could do about it.
So currently in offensive rating, the Knicks are... The Knicks don't seem like the offensive juggernaut, but they're fifth in offensive rating.
That seems crazy to me.
Yeah. Defensive rating, the Knicks are, they're 18th.
Yeah, that's about where I
think. That seems low to me, and the offensive rating just seems high to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're so, it seems like they should be better on defense.
I don't know how much stock to put in these numbers.
Advanced stats.
Yeah.
What do you think the Knicks are on pace?
Pretty bad. I'd say 22nd.
26. They're still pretty bad at that.
Yeah.
Where do you think they are in rebounding?
10th.
Third. That's the one big thing they do is rebounding.
Well, I knew they were really good offensive rebounding. I wasn't sure if they were good on defensive rebounding.
Assist percentage.
I'd say middle, 15th.
30th. They're the worst team in the NBA in assist percentage. They're very ISO heavy.
They are, right? Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, you're right.
They're 8th in net rating. Also interesting as far as defense is, let me pull this up, opponents. Let's see. Where do you think the Knicks are in opponents' field goal percentage?
16th.
So we said what, the Knicks were 18th in defensive rating?
Yeah.
They're third best in the NBA in opponents' field goal percentage.
Huh.
That's why I don't understand how all these stats work.
Yeah.
And where do you think the Knicks are in opponent three-point percentage?
28th.
Eighth overall.
I feel like everybody hits nonstop threes against the Knicks, so I don't know. Okay.
I apparently they don't, according to the stats.
Yeah.
It's funny, they have opponent's free throw percentage, which it's just like arbitrary luck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, the Knicks are really good at defending the free throw.
They're not good at taking free throws. As a team, they have to just stop missing. They missed so many goddamn free throws against Miami. It was absurd.
I think Quickly missed 5 on his own. He's almost a 90% free throw shooter the last year.
Yeah, that's just completely batshit insane. Also, where do you think the Knicks are in field goal percentage now as a team shooting? The shooting.
17th.
They are 21st. Do you know Denver shoots over 50% as a team?
That's good, right? Anthony wants to know, how about that closing lineup in the last game? IQ, Barrett, Hart, Hart, and Grimes.
I'm going to go with that until Randall's back.
I mean, yeah, we're going to see a lot of that if Brunson's still a little banged up and Randall's out. So.
Oh, yeah, I guess Brunson, yeah. I guess I would see, what closing lineup do you want to use now? I guess I would use
now,
Brunson.
Like
I,
with Randall out?
With Randall out.
Yeah.
Brunson, IQ, Hart.
Hart, and then
Grimes.
Either Grimes or RJ, depending on who's having
how well
game.
They're playing.
Yeah.
And where do you think the Knicks are in three-point percentage?
You notice neither of us said Mitch. Not a great sign.
No, I'm thinking Hart over Mitch right now. Hart's playing better than Mitch.
He is.
The Knicks are 22nd in three-point percentage. And free throw percentage, you think they're terrible in free throw percentage, right?
Yeah.
They're actually 22nd. They're not a good shooting team.
I forgot Obi was even on the team. Anthony said Obi's getting traded. I was like, I didn't even like think of Obi. That's how bad this has gotten.
I mean, yeah, Obi's not been good. He had an opportunity last night. Like, Randall's out. He should step up. He is completely flat out there.
Yeah, when Randall got injured, like, IQ, Grimes, Hart, and Hart, like, all stepped up. Even RJ had a few moments, too. I didn't really see much from Obi.
Obi was like, yeah, I've been studying the Steve Novak film. I'm going to be just Steve Novak out there.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even a great three-point shooter. Like, I understand sometimes he can hit shots. He's not, like, a terrible three-point shooter. I don't mind him shooting them. But it's not like he's shooting some crazy good percentage on the season.
It's Tibbs. He's telling him to stand in the corner. He said, everybody else get involved in the offense except Obi, stand in the corner.
I mean, it's not even him staying in the corner. Sometimes he gets the ball and he runs to the three-point line to shoot. He's so excited to shoot from the three-point line. He's shooting 32.7% from three. Last year he shot 30% from three. The year before he shot 30% from three. That's a guy you don't want shooting a lot of threes.
That is true.
I mean, he could get better. You want him attacking the basket. His whole thing was like, when you draft the guy, you're like, he's not going to be a great defender, but he's electric on offense. He's going to take over the offense. He seems like an afterthought on offense, no matter who's in the lineup.
Andrew said Obi is first in height percentage, and Anthony said Obi is the new Theo.
Yeah, he's good at cheering. He's awesome at cheering.
He is. He's a good teammate.
I just want to see. I honestly think the Knicks should move on from him. I guess I've said this on the show before. I think the Knicks should move on for both his sake and the Knicks' sake. I just don't think he's helping the team at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I like him, but I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he's a good fit.
He should be given more time in the G League to figure out the game. Right now, he's in this weird mindset where he feels like he's a spot-up three-point shooter, which he's not.
It is weird that they move like McBride and Sims to Westchester to play games now and then, and they don't do that with Obi.
Maybe they feel it's too disrespectful for where he was drafted.
Maybe. I don't know. What's his name? He was on the Warriors. Now he's on Detroit.
Wiseman.
Wiseman
was the first pick in the draft.
He was in the G League earlier this year.
Never mind. They
played him in the G League this year.
Yeah, I mean,
I know he was rehabbing injuries, but still, they're not like, oh, you're a second pick. You can't play in the G League.
I don't know why he couldn't play in the G League and work out his game, because he needs to play 35 minutes a game and be a full part of the offense. Yeah. Go out there and figure out how to dominate. That's how. The only reason you're on the court is you're going to dominate. You're going to be a plus offensive player.
Yeah,
he's not even a plus offensive player right now. He's below average on offense. I find when he tries to drive the basket, if he's challenged at all at the basket, he doesn't do that well. He only gets uncontested dunks.
Yeah, he's elite on the fast break.
Even with the fast break, when he leaks out, I find half the time that he's leaked out, so the Knicks try to throw it an outlet pass to him, and those outlet passes get turned over half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the defense is looking for it, so it's not as you don't catch them by surprise anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good
point. I mean, everyone's read the scouting report that he's gonna leak out, so they're paying attention. So when's the last time he leaked out and had a dunk?
I don't remember. It's been a while. They used to be a thing. He used to come in and get a couple dunks and then go back out.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just needs to really figure out his game and have more playing time. I know people are saying he needs more pick and roll. And even when they do pick and roll, he doesn't really he doesn't grow a great job of holding the pick or rolling. There's a lot. He has the skill set to be a better player. But he's in this weird zone where he can't figure it out, and he needs more room to figure it out. And a team that's trying to compete for the playoffs is not going to be the place where he can figure this out.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not a good enough defender to make up for the fact that he's not a good offensive player right now.
Agreed.
So for Obi, I want to see less of him on the Knicks and more of him on another team. Jesus. That's what I want to see.
So if you want to yell at us, our voicemail is 516-584-4112.
You can be the first person to call that number.
Yeah. We're also the New York Knicks podcast at gmail.com. That's our email. Didn't get any emails this week, so you guys are slacking on that. And NY Knicks podcast is our Facebook, Instagram, Patreon. What else are we on?
Your OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, yeah. And you can join our Discord. We have our links on there. Our Twitch is twitch.tv/crumpledbacon, and our YouTube is youtube.com/TITOWA.
Jay's OnlyFans is OnlyFans/JLovesNipples.com. Anyway, you know, actually, who I want to talk about was Hart. Mm-hmm. So I've noticed with Hart. Now, Hart is awesome. He does. He's great on defense. I love so much about his game. I think he's a little bit. I think he passes the ball a little bit too much. I've noticed a couple times recently where he is open near the basket, but passes off to another teammate because he wants to keep the ball moving. I think he needs to be a little bit more selfish about trying to get baskets for himself.
Sometimes I think he makes the good pass, and sometimes maybe is being a little bit too generous. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think to a certain extent, he looks at this team like, they don't need my offense. They need me to do everything else, which is fine. And he's great about passing the ball. And a lot of times he has the right look. There was a great pass. Was it there was a pass maybe in the third quarter or something where it was a pass to him. He basically got caught the ball, like jumping in the air and passed to, I think, RJ for a 3-pointer. Mm-hmm. It was just like a great, like, just the fact that he got the ball and immediately passed to RJ and like an open three was awesome.
Yeah.
But I also think sometimes he's near the basket and overpasses, and you're like, no, like I love your heart, but you cost the basket because you need to look at the rim.
So you want to see Hart be more aggressive for the remaining five.
I want to see the entire team attack the basket. He also, I mean, I feel like with Randall out, you're going to need a little more offense from Hart. Mm-hmm. And also, I just think even when Randall's back, like the more guys, when you can have more, like remember that game when he first got here, he got 25 points. He is capable of scoring.
And his 3-point percentage has held up. Like a lot of people were saying he's not a good shooter. The one season he took a lot of shots, he shot a decent percentage. He's
shooting like 55% from three right now.
Yeah.
You need to shoot more threes so it goes down a little bit because it shouldn't be this high.
But yeah, he's been just the perfect fit, exactly what the Knicks needed. He bumped Sims out of the rotation, but like Sims was kind of redundant with iHeart. And I think it opened up iHeart's game, and it just helped the whole rotation.
Yeah, no one's really complaining about Sims being out of the rotation. It is what it is. I'm sure someone will get injured in the future and he'll have more playing time. Mm-hmm. But the rotation's working.
Yeah.
I want to see more from Hart, less overpassing and more him being aggressive. IQ, what do you want to see more and less of?
He's getting harder and harder to nitpick. This would have been a longer segment like 4 months ago.
I mean, there was a point last year where he was shooting so poorly and just jacking up shots. I felt he was getting to the point where he was being unplayable, mm-hmm. because of how bad he was on offense.
Yeah.
And now he's arguably the third best player in the team. He's awesome. I wanted the Knicks to sign him with a huge contract this offseason.
Yeah, he's been so good.
I think easily $20 million a year seems very reasonable.
Yeah.
I felt like in his first, when he first was here, he would do those push shots, but they would be a little bit wild. And I feel like now he's just like around the rim, he takes like softer push shots, and they're more like
taking the floater.
The floater, yeah. His floater. I feel like his floater was a little wild when he got here. Like, sometimes he'd go in, but they seemed a little bit erratic, and they seem much more just targeted now.
Yeah,
that makes any sense.
He doesn't do as many floaters as he used to, but
does them right around the basket. He still does some, and they're kind of soft. They're kind mm-hmm. of like,
yeah.
It's kind of like where, like, basically, he's got a good touch. When they bounce on the rim, they're going to bounce in because they're like, there's a very soft shot. Mm hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's also added a jump shot, which he kind of needed and didn't have before.
Yeah, his jump shot was really bad his first couple seasons.
His footwork around the basket's been great. I mean, holy shit, he's been good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it was one thing to do against Houston, which is just a terrible team. It's another thing to do against Miami, which plays great defense, and the Knicks really needed his contribution.
He's the Knicks' third best player now, right?
Yeah, it's hands down. I mean, I think I'd probably put Brunson ahead of Randall Randall second, and IQ third, and I he's easily third.
Yeah. Who would you rank at the top five?
His defense has been really good. I mean, he's been great. Jay, I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
On Instagram, Damian Lillard of NINOG4 writes, Dame Lillard, or do you believe we are 2 years too late for acquiring him now that he'll be turning 33 next season? So there's a chance that Dame and Portland will part ways. They'll look to trade him.
Dame seems fed up.
Yeah. And Dame had a great season, and Portland sucks.
They had so many injuries. Like, their whole starting lineup is out.
Yeah, but they're still a really bad team, even with everyone healthy.
I guess. On paper, they look really good.
Do they? Are you sure?
Nurkic, Grant, Simons, Dame, like, it's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good on offense. You're right. I guess guys never stay healthy. Nurkic never stays that healthy.
Unfortunately, I just listed like my fantasy team. I had Simons and Nurkic, so that didn't go well.
Simons is a really bad defensive player.
Yeah, I guess it's a lot of good offensive players that don't play good defense. Anyway, back to the question.
Nurkic is not a great defender either.
I feel like it's 2 years too late. I mean, if you can, obviously he would be a good addition, but I wouldn't want to give up a lot.
He had one of his best seasons of his whole career. He shot on 11 threes a game, shot 37%, which is crazy. Shot 46% from the field, 32 points a game, 7 assists.
I mean, if you could get him for like RJ.
Get him for Ron Baker. It's worth it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do one of those like online trades where you're like, yeah, if we could just Sims and Fournier, because the contracts match, and you know,
what if the Lakers get they'll trade Lakers get Giannis and the Bucks get a paper bag. Okay, do we have to throw in a second paper bag?
Yeah, so I mean, if it's like RJ Grimes, Obi,
I'm not doing it.
And
yeah,
like two or three firsts, I would do that.
Wait, you would do this? What are you going to do? Tell me this trade you're going to do.
RJ Grimes, Obi, and like two firsts.
I think it's too old to sign. The guy's 33 years old. I think it's past when you want to get him.
It's a win now move.
Yeah, I get it's a win now move. Oh, he's 32. He's turning 33 this summer. I don't know. I don't think I want to go get him. He's going to miss 15 to 20 games a year. He does that consistently.
Huge upgrade, even losing those other players, though.
He's not a good defender. Mm-hmm. Not a good defender at all. You're going to lose depth there. Not that I care about Obi, but like, and I guess RJ. I think Grimes is a good defender. I'm not dying to do this trade.
He'd be a huge upgrade over.
I'd rather roll my dice with younger players.
Over RJ or Grimes. He'd be a huge upgrade.
Yeah, on offense, yes, you're right. He's a really great offensive player.
Well, that's your move. So I guess you got to ask yourself, would Brunson, Dame, Randall, I guess you'd move Hart to the starting lineup and Mitch be a contending team?
I think you don't want a backcourt of Brunson and Dame together.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. You don't think you're gonna get crushed on defense? Like the guards are gonna go crazy on you.
What if you had Dame come off the bench and you started IQ?
Why are you trading for him? If he's coming off the bench.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I also am concerned that he will fall. I know he's a shooter, so like shooting shouldn't go away that fast. Mm-hmm. But I'm concerned his game. I know we traded for Kemba. He was really, and we got Kemba, and Kemba turned out to be a disaster.
Yeah, but Kemba was washed up like 2 years before the Knicks got him.
Yeah,
he wasn't putting up 32 points a game. Like
the team is really young. I don't know that we need so much more offensive firepower. I'm not dying for a trade for a guy who's in his 30s.
Yeah, I'm not saying I am either, but I am saying if the package is reasonable, I would do it.
It's, first of all, it's not going to be reasonable.
Yeah.
So yes. I mean, I guess that it's going to be multiple first. Like, Portland's only doing this if they're getting like a huge return. So that's the first part of it. Doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Okay,
we can move on. I don't like doing these. The Knicks are making the playoffs. So I don't want to do like trade stuff.
I guess if I'm looking at the Knicks' future, the Knicks are really young. If I'm going to swing for it, like a guy in his 30s, he's got to be a guy that really puts it over the top. I'm not sure if Dame puts it over the top. I'd rather keep developing a young team.
That's fair.
Or just make a different start. I don't know. I'd rather also a guy. I worry about the defense, adding Dame and Brunson together, even though Dame's obviously an all-star and he's an awesome player. He would help our shooting a lot, especially from three.
How do you feel about paying him $63 million when he's 36?
Yeah, that's the part I forgot. Yes, the contract is absurd. Okay, I'm not doing it for the contract alone. Okay, on Twitter, SS2K writes, how big of a contract would you pay Grimes for? He's doing great this year, and I'm hoping to we resign him, hopefully right after keeping Quickley. Been listening to the podcast since 2019. Love the slight comedic vibe you guys bring as well. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
What do you think? So, by the way, just the Knicks, IQ is finishing his third year. The Knicks do not have to sign IQ. He's on the team no matter what next year, outside of being traded. It would just mean if the Knicks can extend him this offseason, or they could wait till next year. And if next year, they could always match another team. They could always make him a restricted free agent next year. Though the Knicks should probably resign IQ this offseason. And Grimes, they're 2 years away from having to resign him.
Yeah, so they would run the risk of having to pay IQ more if they wait an extra year.
Yes, yes. In theory, IQ could be even better next year, and the contract can get even more bloated.
Right.
But Grimes, so what do you think all these contracts, so we think that like IQ is going to get over $20 million a year, right?
I don't think over, but I'd say like the 18 to 20 mark, yeah.
I think it's going to hit 20, but around there, not to like argue. We're thinking that Hart will get like at least 15.
Yeah, 15 to 17, and I would say Grimes like 10 to 12.
Well, are you sure? I mean, Grimes might get better from here where he's going to get closer to 15 or higher.
I hope he does get better and they do that. That's fine. Right now, I don't think he's worth it.
Okay, fair point. Fine. You're right. I hope he's worth a max contract next
year. Yeah, exactly. I hope they're all worth max.
I'm not rooting against these things. Yeah. Do you think we'll see Grimes make a third-year leap the way that IQ has?
No. I hope he does, but like, IQ made a pretty crazy leap. Like, Grimes would be ridiculous if he made a huge leap like that. I think Grimes is good, but I think he's still like pretty inconsistent, and he could go like a whole game where you're like, oh, did Grimes play today?
Yeah, where they're like, oh, that's IQ, that's Grimes' first shot in the third quarter of the whole game.
Yeah, you look, he's like, oh, he played 32 minutes already.
If he could get a little more consistent from three, if he could shoot six or seven threes a game with a decent percentage, he could be really dangerous for the Knicks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he's got that ability. I think he's going to get better from here. Not max level play. So if the Knicks had traded for Donovan Mitchell, there's a decent chance they would have had to include both IQ and Grimes. And not that Mitchell's not awesome, but I like having both. Like, those are guys you're glad you're still on the team.
Yeah. Corb says, give Grimes all of RJ's shot attempts, please.
Not the worst idea.
Not the worst idea at all.
I do also have the theory that if the Knicks had drafted Haliburton, the Obi Haliburton draft, which we both hate. But if the Knicks had drafted Haliburton, is there a good chance the Knicks don't have Brunson or IQ on the team?
I don't know. I feel like IQ is drafted more as a two.
Fair, but maybe they would have not drafted a second guard or a smaller guard. I don't. Maybe
they drafted McBride afterwards.
Yeah, fair. Fine. Ruin my theory.
I mean, I know you'd like a reason to be less upset about not drafting Halliburton, but they could have had everybody.
What are you going to say to me for my reason for not drafting Jalen Williams? He's looking pretty good. He's looking pretty good in OKC.
This is why you don't punt on the draft. Like, the Knicks could have had Jalen Williams, and Jalen Williams over. Like, people are like, oh, where's he going to get minutes? If he's out playing RJ, play him over RJ. I don't care about the salaries. Like, play the better player.
If he's a really good player and he only gets 15 minutes a game, fine. He'll get more minutes in the future. You just want really good players on the team. He's looking like he might be an all-star in the future. Like, he's playing that well for OKC that, like, you can see this guy being a potential future all-star. You'd find a way to get the guy minutes.
That's why it would work out. That's why, one, I hate punting on the draft, and two, I hate getting protected draft picks. And it's because you never know. And people are like, well, who would have thought Dallas would be this bad this season? Exactly. That's why you don't get a protected draft pick. When you have couldn't the Knicks have been like, dude, you have Luka. You're not going to miss the playoffs. Take off the protection. Like, was that going to be a deal breaker? Maybe, but, like, I don't know. These protected picks just piss me off.
Right. I mean, I was arguing with people about the fact that the Knicks didn't get enough for KP, which is it's really late in the game to argue about that. But it is really frustrating that pick that's a top 10 pick, protected pick. You're like, hey, I don't want a top 10 protection on the second pick. And they're like, well, for these reasons, go, like, we're giving you Porzingis. He's a unicorn. How could this work out poorly for you? Even with his injuries, you have Luka. There's no way you could be a top 10 worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. People are saying we have a treasure trove of draft picks. It looks like we're not going to get the Washington pick, and we might not get the Dallas pick. And, well, I mean, obviously next year it can happen, but, like, this is supposed to be a very, very deep draft class, and the Knicks might go into it with no draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, that really is. I like Josh Hart. I mean, in theory, you could have also just traded the Dallas pick instead of the Knicks pick. I mean, I guess the Knicks were like, well, Dallas will be worse than us, but it's hard to predict they would be this bad.
A war chest.
They just got Kyrie, and you're like, well, I mean, Dallas can't, I mean, they can't be a top 10 worst team with Kyrie on the team. It's unbelievable. Yeah, whatever writes. By the way, yeah, whatever, who responds to a lot of our stuff on Twitter. He's awesome. He cannot stand Tibbs, and not a huge he cannot stand Tibbs. I love how his nonstop trolling of anything Tibbs. I think it's hilarious. But he said, how come Julius is always blamed for his behavior, but Tibbs gets nothing?
All right. We'll bash Tibbs a little bit just to make whatever happy.
I would say Knicks, I mean, Knicks social media, every fan bashes Tibbs all the time. I think we are the most positive Tibbs show there out there. I think there's another account basically who follows our show, like at least comments on our stuff a lot. And he said, I've been really annoyed how pro Tibbs you guys have been all this season, which I found hilarious. I mean, it's true. I just feel people are going a little too hard on Tibbs.
It's funny because the first like 10 years we did the show, the Knicks were bad and we got crap for being too negative. And now the Knicks are good and we're getting crap for being too positive. We just can't win.
Yeah, I'm defending the coach. And people, how dare you defend the coach for a fifth seeded Knicks team?
You said the all-star on the team is good. I'm never listening to your show again.
I mean, it's really like the Knicks, like two of the three seasons that Tibbs has been here, the Knicks have been a five seed or higher, and they're winning games. I can't say he's the worst coach ever.
He could use a few offensive plays, like one.
Yes, I mean, he has. He could draw up better plays. The Knicks having the worst assist percentage in the entire NBA. Knicks not gonna have to move the ball more. There's got to be some way they can figure that out. They're not going to figure that out before the playoffs. They need to figure something else out. For next season, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying this for a while. He should get an offensive assistant coach, get a D'Antoni in there, exchange ideas, like get some plays. I really feel like he's got nothing. Like, do you ever feel confident when the Knicks call a timeout that they're going to have a well-constructed play after the timeout? Because I don't.
Do you think they even go into the play, they're like, coach, are you going to drop a play? No, I'm just going to be angry. All I am is angry. I'm angry all the time.
Like, when the Knicks call a timeout, like, my thought when they go back on the court is, I hope they don't turn the ball over on the inbounds pass. Like, that's all I'm hoping.
I have to say, so I would love to see the Knicks win the title. I mean, we all would. But it would be amazing if the Knicks won the title under Tibbs, because I would love to see how angry he is at the team's celebratory, like, parade, telling the players, you're not working hard enough. We just won the title, coach. Yeah, but you're not getting ready for next season.
Maybe he'll smile. But he was caught smiling last week. Like a smirk. It was a smirk, but it's something.
I have to say also, like, someone was commenting about how, like all the players, like, they're not as happy as you think. Like, there's, like, because, like, I guess Cam said some bad stuff, like, about his time here. And obviously Cam has maybe a reason to not be as happy about his time here. But I generally, like, the players seem, they come to play every day. They seem to, like, from all outside perspective, everything you could see, the players seem, it seems like the locker room is good. It seems like a very good locker room.
That's the impression.
People are happy to be here.
How long is that Cam Holiday going to last? Because it seems like they have five injured starters and Cam's still not starting. Like,
Cam hasn't been very good for Portland. I think people are, you don't hear as much of the Cam hive because he's playing and, like, team three doesn't think he's very good.
You didn't think the minus 20 in a 6-point game was good?
No, not ideal. I saw someone posted about, like, his stats and over the last, like, 10 games, and they were atrocious.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, Tibbs said he wasn't good, and then he left to another team, and he wasn't good. I don't know. Like, Tibbs should have played him more, I guess. Because
Tibbs ruined him.
Tibbs ruined him. Tibbs ruined him. Because of Tibbs, he wasn't good at Duke, he wasn't good at Atlanta, hasn't been good at the Knicks, and hasn't been good in Portland. It's all Tibbs' fault.
Tibbs gave him the stink eye when he was in Atlanta. That's why he wasn't good.
Here's a question, by the way. So someone was commenting that, like, there was a concern that IQ may really want to be a starting point guard, and that is the reason that he may want off the team in the future. What do you think? And obviously we can't get into his mind, but do you think, like, it seems like his role, even if he's not a starter, he'll be getting 30-plus minutes a game going forward. Is there an issue with that? Like, you think he's going to be unhappy?
I think winning cures a lot of problems.
Yeah.
There are certain players who want to be the guy. I mean, if you remember, Phoenix had a team that looked like they were going to be a championship contender, and Joe Johnson was like, yeah, I'm just going to leave and because I want to have my own team. So there are players like that.
Wasn't the issue in Phoenix also is their cheap ass owner didn't want to pay Joe Johnson, so he's like, "Well, I'm going to get paid elsewhere."
I remember a couple quotes saying he wanted to be the man, and they had Stoudemire and Marion and Nash, so he was like fourth option on the team. Which,
yeah, I mean, that's, you know, totally fair. The issue was they weren't paying him.
I mean, that could be too. Phoenix has made some questionable decisions, but you know, there's been players who would rather, like Jeremy Grant, like he left Denver because he wanted to be the man, and then he's like, oh, being the man sucks when everybody else is not good on your team.
Yeah, you'd still rather win some games,
right? So I, long story short, I have not seen anything that would give me the impression that IQ is that type of player, and maybe getting 35 minutes, basically starters minutes, even though he's not starting, kind of like when JR won sixth man, he was played the second most minutes on the team. Maybe that's fine for him.
But are we at the point where we can say, like, if anyone else gets sixth man of the year, it's like a highway robbery. It's like absurd.
I feel like Brogdon's missed too many games at this point.
Yeah.
And that was like,
I feel like IQ has to be a lock for this award.
He went from a plus 6,000, and I'm kind of annoyed I didn't make that bet. He's now a minus 215.
A plus 6,000 to win 6-point man of the year?
Like 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago.
Holy shit.
And
6 weeks ago?
2 months ago. And now he's plus minus 215.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you made that bet in October?
I know. It was probably like plus 20,000.
Holy shit. Anthony writes, with last night's performance, and he was talking about the Houston game, I think IQ wraps up Sixth Man of the Year. The very strong season for him in his third year. The Knicks made a history playing RJ instead of waiting and paying this off. Did the Knicks make a mistake paying RJ instead of waiting and paying him this offseason to each IQ and RJ accordingly? Basically, did the Knicks make an issue? The Knicks screw up by signing RJ early. I guess the Knicks don't have less money to sign IQ because, like, IQ's money doesn't affect the cap because they have the bird rights, right?
Right. But you arguably would not have given RJ the same contract, right? Like, would you have given
No, obviously not. Yes, obviously not. But I don't know. It's done.
It's not like a cap crippling contract.
No, it's what do you get? $25 million a year?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I would rather him be making like 16 to 18, but it's not like, oh shit, he's making $50 million a year. So,
right. So if RJ makes 25, not that we can look this up, but like, what's the, like, if they sign him this offseason, it's still reasonably like over 15, 17 or 18 million a year, right?
Yeah, I would think.
So you're talking about a difference of $7 million a year. Not crazy, especially when you're over the cap anyway.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's not. The Knicks have had way worse contracts.
Right. I guess it's like, if it doesn't affect the cap that much, like, if we realize it's just Dolan's money and we don't give a shit about Dolan's money, then.
Well, honestly, with how crazy some of these contracts are, if the Knicks' strategy is to trade for an all-star, they're going to need a contract like RJ's to even get up to some of these player salaries. When you have players right. making 40, 50 million. That's some ways why
you like having Fournier's contract, because you can use it for a star trade if one becomes available.
Yeah, yeah.
We have any other questions? The Knicks got 5 games to go. Let's talk about how they will do the last 5 games.
Okay.
Okay. I could have this teed up and have the schedule, but I do not, because I'm a terrible co-host of the show. The Knicks have Cleveland coming up on Friday. Then they got Washington, Indiana, New Orleans, and Indiana. We have to win. Ideally, have to win two. You think to keep the five seed, 3 wins or 2 wins? What gets us there?
Probably 2. The Knicks have 2 in the loss column. You got to think Brooklyn's probably going to go 3-2. So 2-3 probably still gets you the fifth seed.
I looked, I forget, but I think the Brooklyn has an easy path. I think they're like the last 5 games are a pretty easy schedule.
Yeah, it's not a killer's row, but they're not a great team anymore. So
no, but by the way, have you looked at Mikal Bridges' stats since he's been on the Nets?
Yeah, it's been ridiculous.
It is goddamn absurd. I mean, in their favor, they got some. Him and Cam Johnson have been playing great.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got something to build off there. So, Bridges, since he became... Hang on. Bridges, since he's been on the Nets... Let me pull up his stats. I was looking the other day, and it was actually like... I was like, God damn.
Yeah, it's something like 25-7-5. It's
so, he's averaging 26 points a game, which is pretty darn good. He's shooting 42% from three on over 6 threes a game, 49% from the field. Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
90% from free throw line. He's like 4.5 assists a game, 4.5 rebounds a game, 2.5 assists, plays great defense. If you're going to have to move Kevin Durant, this is the kind of guy you want to get.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to him asking out 6 months from now.
He really should.
So last five
his
games.
Former Villanova teammates are across town. He may want to join them.
So I say last five games, the Knicks do go 3-2.
Okay, where call it out, Jack.
Knicks are going to lose.
Cleveland a winner.
They're going to lose, and everyone's going to freak out because, like, oh my God, the Knicks lost. You know, not mentioning that Randall's out. They're just going to be like, oh my God, the Knicks lost to Cleveland. It's going to be a terrible playoff series. And then Randall's going to come back, and it's going to look nothing like that in the playoffs.
I say they lose to Cleveland, beat Washington, beat Indiana, lose New Orleans, and beat Indiana again.
Yeah, I think that's the route they go. If they beat Washington, they probably lose the draft pick this year.
God damn it.
I know.
Yeah, like that's the one. If Washington beats the Knicks, then there's a chance they make the well, they have to win the play-in also for the Knicks to get the pick, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So there's a good chance the Nets and Washington's not winning the play-in game anyway, so let's just beat the crap out of them. Let's beat the crap out of Porzingis.
Yeah. Anytime the Knicks do that, that's good.
Anytime.
All right, so Halliburton's out for the year, huh? Well, that's good for the Knicks.
He hasn't been that versatile. He hasn't been that healthy either. He's missed a bunch of games.
All right, so by the time we do the show again, what are we doing? Tuesday? Wednesday?
Probably Tuesday or Tuesday. They play on, yeah, either Tuesday or Thursday, depending on what makes sense.
Okay.
Either one.
So the Knicks will have somewhere between 3 and 2 games left by the time we record again.
Yes.
All right. Let's go Knicks. Randall, get healthy soon. Ice that ankle. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for everybody who joined in the chat. Appreciate it.
If Randall wants to fly to Germany and do whatever LeBron did, he should do that.
Yes. Definitely do that.
Yeah.
Give Wade a call too.
Bye. Yeah. Whatever these guys are doing, just do it. Like, guys, like, their leg falls off and they're like, I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Remember when David Lee like broke his hip or something and he missed like 6 games?
I don't know how these guys do it. It's insane.
And Nash, I think he broke his leg and he missed like 5 games. So, yeah. Anyway, give one of those guys a call. Figure it out.
Yeah, you figure out this stuff. I sprained my ankle the way that Randall did. I don't walk for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, I sprained my ankle really bad, and my ankle was literally messed up for about 18 months.
Like, yeah,
no joke. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.
Happy trails to you. Bye. Bye, love.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
It's all over.
Say goodbye.
It's time to go.
This is the end.
Say goodbye.
You better go away.
I'm gonna leave you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.